John Gambling with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
It's 9 minutes after 8 o'clock, and it is a Friday, and we do indeed have Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
John, can I ask about how the ratings for this show going, particularly on Fridays?
They were just out. The February ratings were out on Wednesday. Through the roof. Through the roof.
And when they say these ratings, are they because of the host or they, no, they the co-host?
No, there is no editorial in these.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much to us both. Thank you.
Radio business is going to survive. I don't care what anybody says. And print will survive, too.
Listen, it's been put in a coffin three or four times in its history. Television, newspapers, we're all going to put it out of business.
But cycles come and go, and radio has its place. Television has its place. The Internet has its place. Print has its place.
No, this is a medium that actually works, and I think, you know, a lot of people are concerned, this is the kind of inside baseball, but a lot of people are concerned that the Internet will surpass radio, but I think that the product that we have, it can be transmitted in any way, shape, or form, and so therefore it's going to pretty much stay where it is. So when the radio, when the towers fall down, you and I can just continue to do this on the Internet, globally.
Yeah,
I can tell how thrilled you
are. Well, Bloomberg Radio's on the Internet.
Yeah, so are we. Yeah, we stream.
And we're also on Sirius XM and those things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the content. It's not the how you get it that really matters.
Right, the machine doesn't make much difference.
If people like you, they vote. And if they don't, that's the nice thing about ratings and capitalism, that if you know whether you're providing a service or not.
And it's all in the numbers. And speaking of the numbers...
Uh-oh, what I get myself... Oh,
what a segue we have.
Stacey Cumberbatch with us, whose mother is an old friend of mine. This shows you our age difference. She is my appointee to make sure that everybody gets counted.
A lot of people don't think this is terribly important. You're talking about the census.
The census. Census 2010. Well, it's not important if you don't care whether we have representation in Washington. It's not important if you don't care whether the city has representation in Albany. It's not important if you don't care that we get our fair share of our tax monies back. But if you care about those three things, it's all done based on the census. And every 10 years, under the Constitution, you have a census I don't know how you'd describe it, the tens years. And so this is the year for it. And the federal government's spending a lot of money, and New York City is working as hard as we can, at least Stacey better be, to make sure that we count everybody that's here, because that's the way they give out the money. Stacey, how are we doing?
Well, today we're at 16%. You know, the census is a questionnaire that was mailed 2 weeks ago.
Does everybody have it? Should everybody have it by now?
Everyone should have it, and if they don't, they can call 311.
I got mine.
And get a form.
I got mine and filled it out in about 2 minutes and sent it back. I got the short form.
That's the only form there is this year.
There is no long form?
There is no long form. Everyone gets the same exact questionnaire, 10 simple questions.
Really?
Now they do another survey, which they do every month, to a sampling of the population to get all that other information that used to be captured on the long form.
All right. Well,
see, that's why you know whether your population is growing or not more than once every 10 years, because for the other data, we need it to make decisions in government.
On a regular basis.
On a regular basis. You can't wait just every 10 years. But this is what's called for by the federal Constitution. And mine took a minute and a half.
Really? I mean,
it's 10 questions for the first person, 7 questions for anybody else that lives there.
And basically, it's just your name and who lives, how many people live in the house.
How many people live in the house, your age, your sex, your ethnicity, your race. And that's basically it.
And it's free. You don't even have to put a postage stamp.
And, you know, people say, well, it's not important. It is important. What's more, if you don't answer it, Stacey personally calls everybody in New York City. No, they have a group.
Knocking on your
they
door.
Call, what, 6 times and they knock
they,
on your doors?
They come up to 6 times. If you don't fill out the form and mail it back by April 15th, starting in May, census takers will come to go to every household that didn't mail it back.
How many census takers you have working in New York City?
Well, I mean, don't know yet until they have the final results of
how
many.
So see what they need.
The last time around in 2000, they hired up to 30,000 census takers to go around the city.
So if you don't fill it out, your taxes are going to go up because you've got to spend money to do it. It's required by the Constitution. So if people say, oh, it's a waste of money, change the Constitution. But the Constitution requires a census every 10 years. And people that do the work want to get paid. They have families. That's okay.
I think one of the most interesting things about the census is the pushback by some people. Now, I understand that there are some that are here that are concerned about anybody knowing that they're here. That I understand. But just in legal American residents, there is a significant number that don't want to do this for some reason. And I think it's this fear of government or something. I'm not really sure.
Keep in mind, if you work, you have to have a Social Security card. I've never quite understood this argument against IDs because
neither,
you have a Social Security card. Nobody complains about that.
Driver's license.
They probably did many years ago. Driver's license you have. In my day, we had draft cards. I mean, today the kids don't have that. But, you know, I mean, there's lots of things. And, you know, there's your birth certificate is another record. Almost nobody that doesn't have one. A handful of people born at home, I suppose, never get registered. But virtually everybody has a record. And is the information abused? No. Could you use it incorrectly? Probably not. It is a reaction that some people have, and we've got to fight our ways through that, because if we don't get counted, if you live in the city and you want to get services and you don't fill out the census form, we're going to have less money to do it. I would love to see them say, okay, we're not going to give you the services if you don't do it.
Tell me how many people, what's the percentage of return nationally at the moment? Do you know?
At the moment, it's 29% nationally, and here in New York City, it's 16%.
16, and the state is 20,
is
I think
20.
You said? Right, okay. So we're a little bit behind the curve here.
We were worse behind the curve a week ago, Stacey and I.
Actually, Wednesday, we were at 6%.
Six.
So we doubled to 12%, and as of yesterday, we're at 16. So we're going up.
They send you a second form, incidentally, if you don't fill the first.
And they're going to send the second form starting on Monday.
But if I had sent mine back, I'm not going to get a
sense. Well, they're only sending the second form to areas that are considered hard to count here in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Those are areas that had a low performance the last time, or areas in which they've identified, like, for example, a lot of renters or a great number of immigrants. So the form is going to go out, the second form, to a lot of areas in New York City.
I mean, New York City is particularly difficult. Keep in mind, we have a lot of people who move around a lot. You know, it's a city where people come and go.
Right.
And, you know, there are lots of nice towns throughout mid-America where they all their lives in the same place. I have one of our commissioners, Joe Bruno, from Office of Emergency Management, has lived his entire life in one building. So he doesn't come and go.
No, not at all. His whole life.
He grew up with his parents in mm-hmm. their apartment. He bought an apartment in the building or rented one, I don't know which. When he became an adult, then when his parents died, I think he bought or rented theirs. Vague recollection. We talked about this maybe 8 years ago. But his whole life in the same building. So he's not
one
of those.
We know where he is.
We know where he is. I hope he's filled out his form.
Stacey,
Joe, if you're listening, fill it out.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. You've got your work cut out, I know, but I'm sure that we'll. What is the expected return number?
100%.
Well, thank you very much.
That's what I like. Somebody on message.
I should have understood that before I asked the question. Stacey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, we'll come back in just a second. Don't forget, those of you listening, you've got the opportunity to ask the questions before we finish up at 800-321-0710. Get in line now.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg with John Gambling on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
All right, everybody, you're involved with Mayor Michael Bloomberg and John Gambling here at News Talk Radio 710 WOR. We hear the story this morning, late yesterday afternoon. You guys held a press conference, you, the governor, and the folks from the Port Authority on the World Trade Center. There are a couple of ifs here. Silverstein's got to rent out.
He's got to raise money.
He's got to be convinced
that you don't want to build buildings there isn't demand for there. Look, number one, it is phenomenally complicated. We've had 4 New Jersey governors, 3 New York governors in the last 8 years. There is the private sector and the public sector. There's federal, state, city. There's New York, New Jersey, and the city involved here. There's two railroads running through the property. There's the memorial with all of its implications. What's the problem? There's a real estate market collapse and banks not making any loans. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how'd you enjoy the show? Okay. So it's very complex. In all fairness, I think number one, we cannot leave a hole in the ground.
Do you feel comfortable that it's done?
Nothing's ever done until it's done, but we are making progress. First, start out. You can't leave a hole in the ground. Can you imagine all the people that criticize everything? Criticize Larry, criticize the port, criticize the governors, the mayor, everybody. The screams, when we get to the 10th anniversary and people look and see a big hole in the ground, I don't think so, okay? I remember all of those people standing up after 9/11, beating the drums, patriotism, we're going to build these towers exactly the way they were and that sort of thing. I'm going to get all the federal monies and I'm going to get all the state monies. I'm going to... Everybody was on board, okay? Everybody wanted to do it. Today, it's kind of hard to find people. This is an agreement that I think is fair and has the kind of provisions where the public is protected. What the city's doing is we will get, if they build Tower 3, which is one of those towers in the new East Bathtub where they dug out this big hole, if they build it, we will get some tax revenues. Actually, the payments in lieu of taxes, but just think of them as taxes, okay? If they don't build it, we don't get it. So what we've said is, okay, we'll take the taxes that we would have gotten, we'll capitalize them, and we'll put in, we'll borrow the money that we would have get, we would get, and we'll put it into the building as equity. So if the building gets refinanced or sold or turns out to be very profitable just being operated, we'll do very well. If Silverstein doesn't look like he can get a loan or rent it, he's not going to build it, and we're not going to put anything in, and we're not going to get the taxes we would get if it was
built. So the downside is very small.
The downside for the city is very small. There are, it is true that the city and the port and the state, everybody's helping back the bonds. That's what governments do to get big projects done. There's nothing unique about that. The state is doing its part. The Port Authority is doing its part. Larry Silverstein's got to come up with a lot more of his or his investors' money. And if it can get done, that third tower we built. In the meantime, the base Tower 4 is going up.
That's the one in the southern eastern corner. Right.
You can see it now. It's five or ten stories above ground level going up. And on the north west corner, there's the world Freedom Tower going up. So and on the southwest corner, that's the memorial going up. So all of this is taking place. In the meantime, a lot of the work is being done for the Calatrava Port Authority and all of these other things. You have to build fundamentally at least the base of every one of these buildings at the same time, because it's such a tight space, the air conditioning or the hot water or the sewerage or whatever comes from under one building to support all the other buildings. And so if you didn't have at least the base of that building, the other buildings couldn't survive, including access and security points. You're going to enter this building, the trucks that deliver things will enter from under where the Deutsche Bank building, which is still coming down, making progress slowly, but getting there. So you have to do sort of some of all of it. And I think it's a great time to start to be a developer, because you can buy cement and steel and labor cheaper than you could have otherwise. And 5 years from now, when these buildings are done, there will be demand. The city is not going away. Our economy has turned, not rushing back up, but going up a little bit. And you have, unless you believe there's no future for the world, no future for America, and no future for New York, to say, well, now's not a good time just doesn't make any sense, because you don't want to start new things at the top. You want to start them at the bottom. That's when all the great projects in this city and any place else were done. And so it's the right time. Everybody's pulled together here. What the Port Authority's board said is they have there's a framework that a deal, and they've given Chris Ward, the executive director, and Tony Kosher, the chairman of the Port Authority. Kosher's appointed by the governor of New Jersey, Ward by the governor of New York. There's this framework. They said, you take the next 120 days to what they call paper the deal. Write up all of the 10 zillion pages of documentation that will protect everybody, and that's what they're going to do. And it really is a big step forward. Does it guarantee everything? No, you can always have something go wrong. That's true with every big project. But you know, John, nobody remembers those big projects that we've come to love and make our city what it is and have a future for our kids. Nobody remembers whether they were delivered on time or late. Nobody remembers whether it was a lot of yelling and screaming to get them done or not, or over budget or under budget. I don't remember, because I wasn't around, nor were you, when the Central Park was done on time or on budget.
I'm sure it wasn't.
And I'm sure some of the papers had these exposés about, you know, come on. This is as good a deal, and is the risk is shared by everyone, and those that say, oh, we shouldn't have more, there's no need for more real estate, more commercial space. Number one, commercial real estate is starting to do better in the city. They're plowing through all that sublet space. You're starting to see people getting closer to build, to starting new projects. There are 3,000 construction workers already working on the World Trade Center site every day. This will add a whole bunch of new jobs. That helps our economy. But this gives us the infrastructure and the space for companies to come here in the future. If you're out there trying to recruit companies and they got to wait for 5 years for a new building, they'll go someplace else. There are lots of, every other city's got lots of vacant space. We don't.
A glimmer of, if not hope, good news. Unemployment in the city down slightly, a couple of percentage points.
Yeah, I mean, the unemployment numbers aren't really a terribly good measure because it's done by a phone survey, number one. Who knows how good that is. And number two, it reflects people's expectations. So if you think the economy is terrible and you're not going to get a job, you say, I'm not looking for a job. If you think the economy is getting better and you want a job, you say, I am looking for a job. Well, in the latter case, unemployment's up. In the former case, unemployment's down. It is one of the measures. A better measure is how many people are actually employed in the city. And we lost 100,000 fewer jobs than we had projected. So that's good. We want the finance industry, which is still our biggest industry, to come back. We want to make sure we continue film, theater, television. That brings an enormous amount of tourists here, but also an enormous amount of jobs, IT, bioscience. It's all of those things. Yeah, the economy is better. I stopped by a new restaurant.
And, I was going to ask you about your restaurant grading because you use that as a...
I stopped by a new restaurant. It's sort of a fancy restaurant, high-priced restaurant, around very near where I live. They just opened. I try to go to, you know, when the new restaurant opens in the neighborhood, I'd certainly try to go once. And it was very good, incidentally, but mobbed, absolutely packed. Now, it was in a hotel where business is slower than they'd like. But, you know, if you talk to Peter Ward, who runs the union that represents the hotel workers, I think he'd tell you that his workers more are working. We have 5,000 more rooms in our city than we did a couple years ago. Hotel occupancy is up. The owners say, well, but rates aren't up to where they were. No, but they're better than where they were shorter time ago. Stores will tell you things are better. So, yeah, the economy is starting to get better in New York City. The rest of the country, don't know.
All right, we've got some names on our list for questions before we finish up at the end here. There's still a couple of open lines here. Talk to Mike Figliola. He'll see if your question is going to make the cut. 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710.
The John Gambling Show, 800-321-0710. Call now.
22 now before 9, Friday, John Gambling Show. Mayor yeah, Michael Bloomberg.
I got to cut in. Frank Barry, one of the ace people that makes this city run. Actually, he's written a great book about city government. He really does know what he's talking about. Dug up this little nugget. Back in 1850s, the then city council, no relation to the current city council that I work well with and love, but the then city council tried to reduce the size of Central Park by a third. There was not demand for all of that land.
Exactly. Apparently. Who would want all of that open space up there? Can you imagine? It is right to form. Speaking of which, state budget, governor, emergency spending, how does it affect the city?
We send a lot of money to Albany. They send some of it back. We spend that money to provide services. If they take more money out of the city in taxes, that hurts the city. If they send a bigger percentage of it back to us, it lets us provide more services. That's sort of an overview, okay? Now you want to get down to what the real impact is. Governor, in all fairness to him, proposed a solution to their mm-hmm. budget deficit. It would have cut to $1.3 billion out of our own money that we send up there that they send back to us. The state Senate Democrats passed a resolution, it's not really a law, but a resolution, with a budget that roughly mirrored the government's and still hurt the city not quite as much, but almost as much. The Assembly, I don't know whether they passed a law or a resolution or whatever, passed a budget that did not hurt the city as badly. So your question on one level should be what's good for the state But my problem is what's good for the city. What's good for the city is they keep sending us more money. As a state resident, which we all are, that's a separate issue. They have been spending money for a long time they didn't have. They've been selling capital assets to pay operating expenses, which is terrible policy. They've been using accounting gimmicks, and the piper now needs to be paid. And it will require some really intelligent leadership and compromise and sacrifice to get us through this. Shelley Silver is trying. John Sampson's trying. The governor, David Pattison's trying. And we'll work with them. What we want is something that is sustainable going forward. But if they cut monies that come to us, we don't have any more money. We have a balanced budget because we started saving a few years ago, but we take care of ourselves. The monies, if they cut it back, it's going to mean less money we spend, which means fewer people in this day and age.
Now, I know you don't control the city council's budget, but the story this morning is they want to spend more than last year when the rest of the city, you've ordered the rest of the city to cut back.
Well, the city council is one of the three independent parts of government. You have the executive, the legislative, and the judicial, typically in every state in the federal government, and they're in control of their own budget. The executive, the mayor in this case, is in control of the budget for all other elected officials and the all the agencies. Keep in mind, we still have to get the city council to approve our budget as well. And then the state, the city judges, the state legislature is in charge of what they get paid. So, you have to talk to them.
Okay, I will. Now I'll get Christine on the line here, and we'll ask her about that. Seems bad timing at the least. Statistics in the paper this morning about shootings, murders.
Yeah, worrisome.
Still low, but up.
Still very low, but still up. And that's one of the problems when the number is very low, that a small increase is a big percentage.
Right.
But it is worrisome. And, Commissioner Kelly and I have talked at length about it. We have fewer police on the streets than we did before.
Relationship to that?
Well, more cops always helps. Ray would obviously always like more resources, more equipment, more management, more officers on the beat, and pay them more to get better and all of that. And the reality is the public's only willing to spend so much money. And everybody says, well, but you can't cut this. Okay, we can't cut this, but we can't cut that, and we can't cut the other thing. What can we cut? And when you ask people who don't want any more taxes but want more services, they say, that's your problem. Find something. Well, there isn't something. The bottom line is there are five big agencies that use most of our tax dollars in the city. There's education, 120,000 employees, $21 billion budget, of which 40% is paid for roughly by the state and the 60% by the city. And then there's police, fire, sanitation, and correction. And corrections is really dictated by the judge. If you have more people in prison, you have to have more guards. If you want to have fewer guards, you got to let people out. Nobody wants to do that. The sanitation, well, you want to go from twice-a-week collections to once-a-week collections? Every time you ask people that, absolutely not. We can't do that. And we must keep, in all fairness, you have to keep our streets clean, plowed in the snow time, but just more, most days you don't have snow. It's just keeping them clean. People come to the city. If the streets aren't clean, they're not going to come.
Oh, you remember the 70s.
Great, fine.
It was a harsh.
Sure. Now, then you get to fire. Well, firefighters, the good news is that they have less to do than they did before because there are fewer fires and fewer fire deaths. That's great news. On the other hand, you still have to have firefighters ready, well-trained, with equipment nearby, ready to respond in an emergency. Police, same thing. Crime way down. It ticks up. This probably is just some more statistics than anything else because overall crime still is down even if some of the murders are up. But it is something that Ray and I have talked about and worrisome and something we're going to have to address in the next budget. The trouble is I've now described 80% of
how it works.
And 80% of that is salaries and pensions. So, people say, oh, well, cut management. You need good management in tough times. You don't need less management in tough times. And managers are getting hired away because
the economy is... Is there an answer? Excuse me for interrupting. Is there an answer other than cutting to our problem today, ultimately?
Yeah, it's paying more taxes or borrowing. I mean, there's only three. Look, you have expenses and you have income, and then you could borrow to bridge a gap between the two of them, but eventually
you
that
think
comes
that
to
that
hurt
Ravitch
you.
Suggestion is a good one?
I think Ravitch deserves a lot of credit for trying to come up with a solution. Dick's suggestion was, with a $9 billion state deficit, borrow a couple of billion and cut your expenses $7 billion,
which
would be very hard.
That's what the assembly budget takes
into
account.
But Dick's plan, in all fairness, also required as a condition of that lots of changes in the way the state does business and their accounting systems, and I find it hard to believe that that's going to get through. And in fact, in the neither the Assembly nor the Senate, I think, has really
said oversight that it was part of the
right.
Ravitch
so
plan.
You know, it, conceptually, borrowing to pay expenses is a terrible idea. That was what was done back in the 70s, and we paid for it for decades.
I know you don't know the answer to this, but what is your supposition? Will the student free Metro cards be not go away? Will they remain?
The city hasn't cut back one penny for Metro cards. Our subsidy to the MTA continues, but the state has cut their subsidy and the MTA's budget. And you know, there's a lot of yelling and screaming, but...
Isn't there a state law that says the state pays for transporting...
I think the state pays for transporting kids throughout the state, with the exception of the five counties. Queens County, Kings County, Richmond County,
really?
New York County, and Bronx County. I think so. You got to check. I believe that kids elsewhere. Now, keep in mind, they live in very rural areas where you have to have school buses because you just couldn't get there. There is no mass transit. In the case of mass transit, somebody had what makes some sense, an idea. Well, you got a system anyways. Give the kid a card and let the kid take mass transit. And in today, in particular, when it's very safe, there's no argument against that. But I've said this repeatedly, the guy that I think the Patterson's best appointee is this guy, Jay Wallner, who's running the MTA. But having said that, he can only work with the money you give him. And he's got to be he's intelligent and he's making the tough choices. And if the legislature in Albany doesn't want the kids to get free rides, they're not going to get them.
Teachers around the country, I've got a stack of stuff here about teachers, and including New Jersey, are being asked to kind of, you know, take a hold on where they are going contractually and raise-wise. Will that be the case here in New York?
I gave a welcome speech to the 50th anniversary dinner of the United Federation of Teachers last night. Got lots of applause. Not 100%, but lots. Look. The schools are demonstrably better. Our graduation rate in the last 5 years up 27%, 3% for the state. So, I mean, we are doing, and it's the teachers, but it's not just the teachers. It's the principals, the school safety officers, the parent coordinators, the custodians, and everybody. They want to get paid. We've given them a 43% raise, teachers, over the last 8 years. There isn't a lot of money to do anymore. And, in fact, if the state cuts us back, we're going to have to make do with a lot fewer teachers, and that would not be good for education.
All right, Mr. Mayor, enough of my questions. We've got a whole bank of phones that people want to ask you. We will get to them in just a moment. 800-321-0710. Coming back.
John Gambling and Mayor Mike, News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
It's John, it's Mayor Mike, it's 6 before 9, and it is you. We go right to the telephones. We're going to start with line number 5. That's Larry. Larry, your question for the mayor. Good morning.
Yes, hi, Mr. Mayor.
Hi, John. Larry.
You know, we're all wringing our hands over the budget, and John's asking about where can we cut. Simple solution, okay? We have billions and billions of dollars being spent on illegal aliens in the city and the state for health care and education. And if you extend that countrywide, the problem is...
Hey, Larry, what's the question, my friend?
The question is that why can't we solve this problem without having the illegal alien problem in the city and the state.
Okay, Larry, the truth of the matter is illegal aliens or undocumented is generally the term we use, don't really cost us anything, if the truth be known. They tend to be younger people who don't bring their kids. There are some, so they don't really use the schools that much. They tend to be younger, so they don't use the hospital because most of us use our health care at the end. They tend to pay taxes because their employer withholds taxes, but they don't get any refunds back, and they tend to work very hard because that's why you come here. Nobody comes here to sit around. It's not warm weather, comfortable lifestyle, you know, laissez-faire kind of or kismet kind of a place. This is a tough, competitive world. And a place, and people come from around the world to work here, and they do take jobs others don't. Now, there's some costs, but on the other hand, on balance, I think if you really did an economic analysis, and most of the ones I've seen say the same thing, that they don't cost us very much money. The big problems we have is that we're spending money we don't have on you and me. We all want services. Most of the services are used by most of the people. We send our kids to public schools. We walk on the streets we want clean. We want to be safe, and that's the cops and the firefighters and everybody else. And I think what we should do is make all of the people who are here undocumented, make them permanent residents, not citizens. Make them permanent residents. Get control of our borders and start giving out visas to people that we need. We need engineers and doctors, and we also need people who work with their hands in the fields and in restaurants and everything else. But the country should be in control of its own borders. Having said that, if we have, I don't know, the estimates are 500,000 in New York City and 12 million in the country, we're not going to deport them. Let's get serious about this. We're wasting our time talking about the wrong thing. What we're doing is we're educating people from around the world, and then they're going elsewhere to start businesses and invent things. And it's really going to be a disaster for this country. Medical research, a lot of it's now being done in India. Those drugs, we want things done here. We have a high unemployment. Small business, the answer. We want entrepreneurs from around the world to come here and start small businesses. And I've always thought what the president should get Congress to do is give visas to anybody who will come from around the world. They'll get a green card as long as they're here running a small business that they start. That would gets the best and the brightest here and creates the jobs we need.
All right, Larry, thanks a lot. On to Christine. Christine, your question for the mayor.
Yes, I'm wondering how the city pays for the Metro cards. My understanding is that the Metro cards allow for 3 trips per school day per student. And in New Jersey and maybe other districts, school buses bring children to school and take them home from school. The subway actually allows students to go on an ongoing basis to and from whenever they can catch a train. I was wondering if it was prepaid, like a debit card or a credit card, or what was the meaning of 3 trips?
I don't know why the number 3 is used there. If you think about it, the MTA has the expense of running those buses and subways, whether people take them or not. If the kids don't take them, they don't get another subsidy from the city. Fundamentally, the Metro card is a subsidy by the city and the state to the MTA. And, you know, all this money goes into the same pot. In the rest of the state or the counties pay for transportation for students. And as I said earlier in the program, in all fairness, most of those places are much more rural than New York City, so they really do need buses. In New York City, what the state has done is they've cut back the subsidies to the MTA. The city has not, but the MTA says we can't afford to do it. And the MTA, you can say, well, they're going to still run the same subways and buses. Why don't they just let them on for free? But somebody's got to pay. You can say that about any one person showing up. Well, this person, we're going to run it without them. Why charge them?
All right, Mr. Mayor, let's see. Faye is on the line. Faye, we're almost out of time, so right to the question, please.
I just wanted not to ask a question, but to thank you, Mr. Mayor, for the beauty and the grace and the way you've run the city. My husband's suffering from cancer and went in and out of the Kenneth Langone Center a lot, and the day after the blizzard, we had to come in at 5 in the morning and came through the tunnel and just zipped through. It was such a pleasure, and thank you so much.
You've made my day. Thank you. And what's more, I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell Ken Langone something, because he's a good guy, and he gave a lot of money for that center, and I hope your husband gets good care and turns out okay. Our prayers are with him.
All right, Mr. Mayor, that's going to do it. Holiday week coming up for me, and so we'll give you the day off next Friday.
I'm looking forward to 2 weeks from today, then.
Okay, me as well. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure. Mayor Michael Bloomberg here at News Talk Radio 710.